Today's episode is sponsored by the new e-commerce podcast, The E-commerce Leader. The podcast is hosted by myself and Jason Miles, multi-million dollar Shopify owner and Udemy's highest rated e-commerce instructor. If you own a thriving online business and want to be the best leader you can, it's got your name on it. For free guides and mini courses on many e-commerce topics, go to theecommerceleader.com. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome back to Amazing FBA, the place to be for UK-based Amazon sellers. In fact, it's not just for UK-based sellers. I'm going to have to change that tagline. A lot of Americans listen. And if you are listening, there's some amazing stuff happening out in the world. Please do listen to our previous episode. So we've been talking with Jana Krekic of YLT Translations, who help sellers scale their businesses internationally and help with everything to do with the listing, really, but particularly translations. It's obviously your expertise. So Jana, welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
So we had a lot of exciting, sexy, big picture stuff that we're talking about, all these juicy new countries coming online with Amazon and great opportunities. But today we're going to go back to basics, I guess, that we're going to talk about the Amazon listing issues that you see, because you offer an analysis. I know it's one of the things you offer to your customers, your clients. So what problems would you say you see? What are the classic errors and what are the things we need to do to make our listings better and make us more money?
Absolutely. So one of the first things I see is that people use Amazon Launchpad because Amazon was offering the translations for free. And so these translations are basically machine translated text and they're proofread by humans, but this is never going to be a good translation. So we get a lot of that. And none of these listings have a good feedback because definitely Amazon is not going to use any keywords. It's not definitely going to do a good job. And especially if you hear free and Amazon in one sentence, that's probably going to cost you a fortune, you know? So everything that's for free from Amazon, it's not going to do any good to your business. So number one is never to do any of the Launchpad services or anything they're offering. I mean, luckily enough, they stopped offering Launchpad services now. But don't do any machine translations or anything like it. Like, for instance, when talking about video ads, they've now have the option to have the headline for the search ads translated automatically, like do German or Spanish or any other languages. And if you don't put the translation yourself, Amazon is going to translate that for you. So stop Amazon from doing that and put in your translations. And here's a little bonus for what you can do with the headline text, like in a different language or maybe just in English. You can put a keyword, a very important keyword for you in the headline, and then you can use all the same in your campaign. So when somebody types that keyword, both of your ads show up with the headline with that keyword and your product. So that's always good to have that. But absolutely, Amazon is not going to use any keywords in your translation. So definitely number one is like using autopilot translation from Amazon or from anybody else, from any other tool. If you still want to use a tool, don't use Google Translate, use DEEPL. It's DEEPL. It's also like a machine translation tool, but it's better than Google Translate. Of course, not as good as human translation, but it's definitely better than Google. So avoid Google at all costs. The only time when I would say Google is fine for you to use is like when you have your PPC campaigns, when you have them in a Google Sheet. It has to be Google Sheet, not Excel sheet, because you have to be online. And there's a formula, like if you have like your exact match phrases and you want to make sure that you are doing a good job with your keywords, you can just put like an insert, an additional column, and then write a Google Translate formula, which is like the sign for equal. Then you have Google Translate, and then in brackets, you write the language you're translating from and the language you're translating to. And when you click enter, you're going to get like all of these, like the whole column translated to, let's say, English from German. But this is only for you to understand what sort of keywords you're using, not for your keywords to be used in your listings or campaigns like that. So that's number one. The automatic translations never do you any good. And it's all a lot of mumbo jumbo. And especially because like when I hire translators, a lot of them tell me like, oh, I've been doing translation for Amazon. And they haven't actually been doing any of the keyword research or listing, or they know any of the roles. What they have been doing is that Amazon gives them a really like poorly written machine translated text, and then they have to alter it. So if you're maybe wondering sometimes why your listings have some amazing sentences and some of them done really bad, is because somebody was trying to proofread the machine translation. And a lot of times it takes even more work and more time for a translator to correct the machine translation other than do it from scratch. So please avoid that at all costs.
Yeah.
I
would just say just a simple point, which is this, that for you, if you're British and English speaker or American English speaker and you don't speak a foreign language, then translation is just a technical job you got to get done. But if you're not thinking, that's a terrible thinking for a marketer, because the marketer's got to think about how the prospective client or customer perceives stuff. And for them, language is a communication tool. Therefore, if it's written by a machine that doesn't understand humans as opposed to by a human, it's just not going to be a human-to-human communication. And that sounds kind of obvious, but it's just like somehow outsourcing the job of communication is abdicating your marketing. And it's going to just, by definition, get bad results. I think it's just a weird thing to do. The only reason I can think of that is because people think of language as a subset of data, and it's not. It's a human-to-human communication tool. So I just think it's a misunderstanding of what language is. You know what I mean? It's not a bunch of numbers. It's not percentages. It's not conversion rates. It's not an automated logistics system. It's a human communication tool. So there you go. And I think any auto-translation of any kind is always dodgy for that reason.
Absolutely. So number two I see all the time are something which I already discussed a little bit, and those are keywords. A lot of people put keywords and they just translate them in Google Translate, or if you want to invest your money, then a lot of people just go to Fiverr and they're like, okay, so I'm going to hire a translator to translate all these keywords. So the problem is with the regular translator is that they don't know anything about Amazon. They don't know why they're doing that. They don't know what you're going to do with those. So the problem is like when you get somebody who's a human translator, native person to translate your keyword list, is that they don't know why they're doing that. So I bet that if you were to check like the whole list translated by a native translator, you're not going to be able to find those keyword combinations on Amazon. And probably your product is not going to show up if you type some of those keywords. For instance, you know, what I think is very important, if you still want to do translation by someone who's just a regular translator, just ask him to put the keywords in Amazon and see if your product shows up. Because a lot of times the translations would not be existing keyword combinations. And then you don't want to be relevant for irrelevant search terms, definitely. And I think it's very important for the translators to always double check if, you know, the something similar to your product will show up. Otherwise, you'll just be wasting your time and money. And the worst thing of all is that people then take the keywords and they put them in their PPC campaign. So that's absolutely horrible. And this is how you absolutely ruin your honeymoon period Amazon gives you when you start launching a new product. And it takes forever for you to get back to that page one. Once algorithm understands you are not relevant for the search term, or maybe you're using too broad search terms, you're definitely done with your good rankings. So that's number two. And number three is changing listings and your PPC campaigns at the last minute. This is the worst thing you can do to yourself, honestly. Like especially now before the Black Friday or Cyber Monday or you know Christmas or any of the important events. If your campaigns or if your listings or keywords are ranked, and that's how what has been you know going on very well for you for the last 4 or 5 months, don't change those the last minute. Don't go in with your new keyword strategy or PPC strategy on November 25th. It's going to be too late, and you're going to ruin everything you've been building for the last 6 months just because you decided to do that 2 days before Black Friday, for instance, or 10 days before Christmas. So definitely do not change anything last minute. This is something I see all the time. There are tons of people that contact us like 5 days before Christmas being like, well, maybe we should do this. This is a new strategy. I was listening to this course or I heard this on YouTube. Let's try this out and stuff like that. And we don't work on those. We tell them like, look, like you're ranked for certain keywords and don't ruin your chances to stay ranked for them. So it's not always a good moment to you know edit your listings. And first of all, you have to A/B test them. Now Amazon has the A/B testing tool. It's still in beta, but I mean probably some of you got it, so you know if you have the access to it, just use it. but never change more variables than one. Like never change like a title and bullets. Just first change the title, then see how it's performing. Then, you know, if it's not performing well, maybe it's the bullets. So just as the bullets, you know, but never do more variables at the same time, because you will not know. You're not going to get good data of like what went wrong and why, you know, why things turn up, like why is your listing underperforming?
Absolutely. Just really, that's just another discipline thing. I've got a client the other day, he's actually selling on bol.com, but it's no different. And I said to him, you are, because he said to me, oh, I've got to manage my stock, I've understocked. And I said, okay, fine, so you got to put the price up. And he said, oh, I tend to change the price several times a day. I said, wow, you are forbidden to do that. I said, I forbid my new clients to change the price more than once every 4 days, because you get rubbish data out of it. As you said, if you change everything quickly. Or you change more than one thing at a time, I couldn't agree more. And it's also the mentality it comes from is even worse, which is it's panic. It's not strategic. It's not having a system and then running the system. And you can't delegate that either. If you're gonna, it's just everything about it's horrible. So yeah, couldn't agree more with that. And that's not even just a translation issue or cultural issue. That's just like a sort of mad headless chicken issue, isn't it? Really?
Yeah,
I see that a lot.
Exactly, and I see that like all the time. You know, it doesn't have to be only listings or PPC. It can be like your pictures or changing the template for your A+ content. It can be basically anything, because people just like, you know, and nowadays you're like, oh, I heard this strategy, I heard that strategy, you know, and you don't have enough time. And I blame it all on like people not having like a vision for their brand and their product, not having like a long-term planning, not having a business plan at all. You know, serious sellers do have all of that. And there is a reason why serious sellers are serious sellers and they're ahead of their competitors. So whatever you do, like make a business plan and stick to it.
Amen to that. Absolutely agree with that. And yeah, as somebody also, I know you used to be a CEO of a really hugely growing business as well as YLT Translations, obviously hugely successful. So you've been there twice with that and you know that the value of that business structure. So yeah, absolutely. Very, very important. Okay, so exciting mistakes we've made so far is machine translations, keyword translations, not fresh research, changing the listing last minute. So what else do people do? What other exciting errors are people doing?
It's connected with the translations. That's localization, which is sometimes even more important than the translation itself. So actually localization means that you understand the target audience. So it's like you should not translate things. Like you have idioms. I'm pretty sure everybody knows what an idiom is. So you're not going to translate that as it is to another language, because in another language, it's not going to have any meaning at all, you know? Or also like in terms of style, you know, like US style is very salesy, it's very pushy, aggressive, right? But Germans hate it. They want to hear benefits of your product. They want to be, they don't want to be pushed into buying your product. They don't want to be told that your product is amazing. They will be the judge of that. And they don't like metaphors and like sweet talking and stuff like that. Of course, I mean, it depends on the product, but generally they really want professional outline of your product. And they really want to see what are the benefits and, you know, being very straightforward as they are. And what's very interesting for German marketplace is that is the worldwide marketplace that has the most refunds. So if Germans don't like the sound of your listing, or like they thought maybe they're buying something else and it's not what they thought it was, they're going to return it. And you'll have to refund them. So that's something to think about.
Yeah, completely. I mean, it's a totally different culture. And I can speak a little bit to that as I speak fluent German and lived out there. It's, it's a total disaster to treat Germany like an extension of, you know, of the United States. It does not work. And as you said, they are fussy consumers. But lest we forget, the second biggest marketplace in the world, and by far the wealthiest consumer base, is a sort of combination of wealth of individual consumers multiplied by the number of people buying online. Also, they've had a good COVID. So although e-commerce penetration may be lower, their economy is going to be a lot stronger relative to pretty much every developed country that I can think of.
Yeah. I know, it's Germany. You expect competent that people. From Germany. You don't expect them to have like to struggle like with economic problems. You know, they survive and thrive. Like that's what this country does, you know?
Yeah, so, they are competent people. So yeah, in other words, it's what I'm saying is for any British or American sellers who struggle with this, think, oh, I can't be bothered with Germany, it's so difficult, refunds, they're fussy consumers, negative reviews, all the rest of it. There's a big old prize on the side of it. That hasn't really shifted. It's not a sexy new marketplace like Czech Republic, maybe one day will be, or Poland will be, or Sweden, if Amazon remembers what the flag looks like. like, but it's there now and it's going to be consistent. Whereas I'm quite suspicious of what happens with American and British consumers once the country's government stop pumping money in sometime next year. Whereas Germany's promised to pump money into their consumer market for two straight years, and they can afford to do that. So worth getting to grips with, really.
Yeah. And my fifth tip is, of course, like the overall tip and the one tip to rule them all is never be left out of stock. Definitely. A lot of people, what I saw happening is like during Prime Day, they didn't even give any Prime Day discounts because people were so afraid of being left out of stock that Prime Day did not even have any amazing deals. Like I remember seeing like a lot of products that I wanted to buy, and I was waiting for the Prime Day and they were like, you know, they were not even discounted or maybe discounted by like 10% or not even that. So a lot of people were very afraid of having the situation. And bear in mind that Amazon is really, you know, they're struggling with everything going on with a lot of purchasing, a lot of demands, a lot of, products in warehouses. So be sure to stack up and to have a lot of products in your stock. And, you know, if that means like don't give such a big discounts for Black Friday, then don't give them. I think it's better to never stop doing your PPC campaigns. That's like the worst thing ever. So just continue selling, but maybe don't offer that much discount as you thought about in the first place. If that means that you're going to be left out of stock, because I think if you're left out of stock right now, you're completely doomed because things are not working as they usually are this time of year.
I like those serious words. If you're out of stock, you're doomed. But yeah, it is a big thing to obsess over. And to be fair, that's not a little tactical win that anyone can sort out just by listening to this podcast. Some of the other stuff you can definitely get sorted by getting in contact with you guys. But nevertheless, completely true. Now, tell me about the thing you were just mentioned. Never stop the PPC campaigns. That's a disaster. Tell me about your thoughts on that. It's an interesting statement.
Yeah, well, according from the experience we had, I mean, we don't do PPC, but we talk a lot about PPC because of the keywords with our clients. And once you stop your PPC campaigns, once you freeze them, you're going to lose everything you have built like for the previous couple of months. So even if it means like running it and investing minimum amount of money in your PPC, just do it. But whatever you do, never stop running PPC campaigns. This is what I've learned from a lot of different clients with thousands of different experiences. And we usually work with 7 to 8 figure sellers. And, you know, a lot of them know this. But what really comes to me as a surprise when it comes to like listings optimization and stuff is that a lot of people make these mistakes, what I talked about, no matter how big seller you are when it comes to international marketplace. You might think that somebody who had just, you know, launched their first product doesn't know anything about international marketplaces, but you would be so wrong because a lot of crazy big sellers come to us and I'm like, is this for real? That they got their listing like machine translated, they launched it like that, or they translated the keywords. So this is what happens with the big, big sellers as well. So this is something which is quite mutual for the whole basically Amazon selling community out there.
Very interesting that you see that. Yeah, I think I remember a business coach saying to me years ago, look, there's a lot of businesses out there that are really successful despite being on the operational level, really making some huge mistakes. But the nice thing is, of course, that if you're already successful, if you can tweak those mistakes, you're going to blow up even more success. So these are, again, some nice wins. And again, I guess that relates to your sort of error number 3, changing listing and PPC last minute. Any sort of violent on, off, or black and white sort of changes generally just seem to me quite ill-advised. But it's a bit like if you're driving along at 70 miles an hour, whatever, you know, 110, 112 kilometers an hour, and you do violent moves to the steering wheel, you're going to crash. So the thing is to just tweak and observe, right? And then as a mentality, that's also a bit calmer. You're going to have a steady ship then. You have employees running around pulling levers frantically. Yeah, that creates a very bad atmosphere, right, of panic. And a lot of people kind of operate in panic. It's strange how prevalent that is. And again, you're right that the biggest sellers maybe make a lot of mistakes, but at least they don't panic in response to them. That's the difference between 7-8 figure sellers and the smaller ones, in my experience.
Definitely. I would definitely say that 8-figure sellers, they don't panic. They don't get that easy in panic mode. I think when they get in panic mode, they're in big trouble, honestly. But like for these, you know, like known to, you know, mortals, I don't think they, you know, get like into panic mode so fast.
Yeah, absolutely. So don't panic is our friendly sort of summary of today. So we've got up to quite a few points. What are the other sort of errors that you see in listings that you've got on your clients?
A lot of times people just, as I said, like they do the changes and a lot of things at the same time. They apply various strategies for too short amount of time. They don't wait to see the results. And then we'll go back to panicking. So they do a lot of strategies, they do various things, and they never wait to see the results. So this is what, and I'm not a big fan of implementing something that they just heard like on YouTube and they don't know it's working, because like some of the strategies that we're doing, we know that they work. We have like tons of case studies and we're in our contact with our clients a lot of times. And this is something that we know that it works. But usually, you know, hiring someone who doesn't know Amazon is the biggest disaster you can do for yourself. And, you know, definitely someone that hasn't been trained in, like, if you hire someone for photography, you know, like, they have, like, bad listings. They don't know the special rules for A-plus content and stuff like that. So I definitely think that that's something that, you know, people don't pay attention to. Definitely the keyword strategy. A lot of people don't have the keyword strategy, or some, like, really, as I said, like, they try different strategies, and they want you to apply them to them, although nobody knows if they're working. So a lot of people want to stick to that, have like, we have the clients with some like insane requests, which would only, for instance, work for German language, but you cannot have the same combination of words and you don't have compound words as you do have in German in other languages. And he thought that we should make compound words in all other languages so it resembles German. I mean, it was just crazy, but he heard something like that would work. And I mean, you know, like to also other clients, just like putting backend keywords with a dash between all of those. And I mean, these were very successful sellers, but they want to try out like different stuff, and they want to try out things before very important events that season. So, you know, it's, as I said, like, I think you should just stick to some strategies which are well proven, and leave the testing for like, I don't know, February or March, or in something where nothing exciting is happening in the Amazon world. But basically that's it. I think the keyword strategy is like one of the most important things. I think that we should definitely always focus on that good old like best keywords in your title. And then the first two bullets should definitely have listings, should definitely have keywords. I would definitely advise always doing that, not experimenting with like, I don't know, not starting with the strongest keyword or not even having keywords in the title or just putting in backend or something like that. I think that's also very important. And also another thing that I see like as a mistake, and I think this is definitely a mistake, is that the sellers write novels in their bullets. And they really want to maximize on that 499 characters per bullet. And I just don't understand that thing, because customers are not going to read your novel in your bullets. They're probably going to skim through, be like, okay, this is just too much, and go to A-plus content if you have it. If you don't have it, then they're probably going to skip your listings because this is just kind of too much, right? So I would never advise people writing too long bullets, definitely. I would like, you know, maximize on maybe like 240, 250 characters per bullet. And then, you know, so it's easy to skim through and then to go to the A-plus content if you have one, definitely. But super long bullets are something that I see often. And too much text is not gonna like get you more clients or customers. And I've seen that happen all the time, that you're gonna undermine your listing by having too much text in your bullets.
Excellent. So let me just read back then, just make sure we've captured this. So this is our list of 10, which is very neat because the internet runs on lists of 10 things, doesn't it? That'll be a good blog article. So error number one, using machine translations. Can't say enough about that. I mean, it's just a horrendous idea. If you're a serious seller, for God's sake, hire a professional. We'll talk about what you guys offer in a second. Number two, keyword translations, not fresh research. Number three, changing your listing in PPC last minute. Number four, lack of localization. Don't do US aggressive stuff in Germany. Number five, never be out of stock. If only that were that easy, but it's the right, it's true. Number six, never stop PPC campaigns. Just maybe kind of back off them. That's really important, actually. Number seven, changing things too often. Totally with you on that. My clients love to do that. Number eight, hiring somebody who hasn't been trained in Amazon TOS and knowing how to do things, whether it's a photographer or a translator. Number nine, experimenting right before busy sales time. Again, you're right. It's a really risky thing to do, and don't be following, you know, the latest YouTube unproven strategies. Number 10 is writing a novel in your bullets, which is, yeah, absolutely, we'll all fall into that. So have we missed anything? Is there another kind of crashing error that people are making here?
I think that's like one of the top biggest mistakes that sellers make. I mean, they make tons of others, but yeah, it's also very individual, you know, like what, yeah, you know, depending on the product you sell. But I think these 10 mistakes are something I see like on a weekly basis.
Definitely. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And you see a heck of a lot of translations, so that's a really valuable sort of overview. So I think people could do worse than just go to the blog. I mean, it's amazingfba.com/blog, and just, you know, you could use that as a little checklist. Just go through, yeah, your list, definitely, and go, am I doing this? Is there a novel in the bullets here? Whoops, there is. So tell us a little bit. Obviously, you incredibly experienced people at YLT Translations by this stage. So tell us a little bit about the services that you offer people if they want to make sure their listings are actually not going to be horrible in the way you've just described.
Absolutely. So we basically offer everything that you need to get started on international marketplace after you've registered for VAT and did the product launch. So basically, apart from product listing translation, we also, what's included in that is definitely keyword research, localization, search terms, and we also provide keywords for your PPC campaigns, so you can try out our keywords and see how we do keyword research. Apart from listing product translation, we also do ads translation, video ads translation, very popular in Europe because you don't have a lot of competitors. So definitely, if you haven't checked them out, definitely check video ads. They're going to be a very big thing, very trending in the US and hopefully in Europe. Also, we do packaging translation, manuals, Q&As, email templates. We also create flat files in case you don't want to hassle with the manual upload to your seller's account. And we also offer customer service support. We do translations for you, for your clients, and you get that on time to answer them in their time zone.
Amazing. So it's the really complete package when it comes to all the language and content side. And I would just point out a couple of things. That one, the opportunity of video ads, I'd love to get you back on at some point to talk about that when there's maybe a bit more data about that out there, but that's going to be very, very big. It's already working very well in different countries like the US and UK where it's come out. And the other one is flat files. The opposite side of the equation is that flat files are painful and incredibly time consuming, annoying thing to do yourself, from my experience. So if somebody can take that off your plate, that could save you hours and hours and hours. Trust me, that is a valuable service. Don't underestimate that. So if anyone wants to use your service, we've got a redirect here from amazingfba.com/YLT, YLT translations. And if you mention Amazing FBA, I guess you guys are going to look after them and be nice to them because we've spent so much time.
Of course, we'll be more than happy to offer better pricing that you can see on our website for all the Amazing FBA listeners.
Fantastic. Well, again, it just remains for me to say good luck surviving winter in Serbia. I hear you stuck in London where it's also pretty rainy. We were going to go to Italy for a holiday. We went to the British coast, which, lovely as it is, was not quite as sunny. So I hear what you're saying, but it sounds like, you know, business is very, very good, and you're really helping a lot of sellers to really, really improve their listings. So fantastic work and lovely to have you back. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me.
Today's episode is sponsored by the new e-commerce podcast, The E-commerce Leader. The podcast is hosted by myself and Jason Miles, multi-million dollar Shopify owner and Udemy's highest rated e-commerce instructor. If you own a thriving online business and want to be the best leader you can, it's got your name on it. For free guides and mini courses on many e-commerce topics, go to theecommerceleader.com.